Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy, knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Friday, July 19th, 2019. I am Dave Biddle, joined by Steve Hellwagon here in Chicago, Illinois, where Big Ten Media Days began yesterday. All of Ohio State's obligations were held yesterday, other than, you know, Ryan Day at the Big Ten luncheon later today. But, Steve, it was an action-packed day yesterday with Ryan Day, Jordan Fuller, Jonathan Cooper, and KJ Hill. You know, I want to start with Ryan Day being asked about the quarterback situation. This is no surprise. We gave Bucknutters a heads up that, hey, don't expect him to make a grand proclamation about quarterback. He promised Gunnar Hoke a chance to compete for the job. That's exactly what he said. I don't want listeners, though, Steve, thinking like he's down on Justin Fields. Justin Fields is going to be the starting quarterback. He just don't even worry about it, Bucknutters. He's going to be the starting quarterback. But when asked about it yesterday, Ryan Day said Justin has not won the job yet. He still needs to win the job. And I wouldn't have expected him to say anything less, Mr. Hellwagon.
No question, Dave. And I was also expecting that there would not be any kind of an announcement regarding the quarterback position, just for the reason that you said. One of the questioners, and I think our guy Pat Murphy has the story up on Bucknuts about the quarterback situation. One of the questioners said, well, when you have a guy that's been hyped up like Justin Fields, the number two prospect overall in the country in the 2018 class, went to Georgia, got a little taste of playing time, and now, you know, we all know the story. He's at Ohio State to follow in the footsteps of Dwayne Haskins. And you know, people regarding him as a, quote, Heisman Trophy candidate or whatever, former number two overall prospect in the country. And Ryan Day kind of tapped the brakes and brought everybody back down to reality here on planet Earth when he said, well, all of that hype and all of that stuff, and I'm paraphrasing here because the coach said it much more eloquently than I could. He said, hey, just win the job at Ohio State first, and then we'll take the rest from there as it comes. So I thought that was tremendous common sense from the head coach at Ohio State to say, you know, if Justin Fields proves to be the best quarterback on their roster, then he will play. And he will play the lion's share of the plays for the Buckeyes in 2019. I have no doubt about that, but I think that Ryan Day's comment was he needs to earn it first.
Nothing wrong with making the young man earn the job. You wouldn't want, like, just for the culture of the team, you wouldn't just want to, like, give him the job. Even though none of us are stupid, we know that Justin Fields is going to be the starting quarterback of this football team. But I do think Gunnar Hoke can be, like, as I've said before many times on the show, like a Kenny Guyton type. Not the same type of, not that they're carbon copy players, but a guy that can be a solid backup quarterback and come in and get the job done. If, say, they're losing a game like Kenny Guyton did against Purdue in that 2012 season, came in and kind of saved the day. You wouldn't want Kenny Guyton as your starting quarterback necessarily all season, but you know, he could come in and win a game here and there. I think Gunnar Hoke can do the same thing. Moving on, Steve, with some of the highlights from Media Day yesterday and some of the things that Ryan Day said that I found really interesting. On the offensive line, yeah, he says there's basically seven guys, you know, in the mix for those five spots. Really, six guys for four spots, because he said Thayer Mumford is definitely a starter. I think Josh Myers is definitely a starter. I really think Jonah Jackson is definitely a starter, but he stopped short of calling Wyatt Davis a starter. He said right tackle is going to be interesting with, you know, Brandon Bowen, Nicholas Pettit-Ferrer. They also have Josh Allibee who can play. And he said they could, you know, all seven of those guys could play, meaning they could rotate a couple of those guys in there. Your thoughts on what he said about the offensive line, and just how do you think this offensive line will perform, Steve?
Yeah, the two big storylines I came out of today, or actually Thursday with, was first of all that Thayer Munford is healthy, and that's critical that your left tackle is healthy and ready to go. And I had talked to his high school coach, Nate Moore, at the coaching clinic a month or so ago, and he kind of reiterated that, or I guess he was at the camp a few weeks back. And then the other storyline I had was that Jonah Jackson, the transfer from Rutgers, has assimilated to the culture at Ohio State. Coach Day said that the guys on the offensive line have taken him under their wing and taught him what it means to be an Ohio State player, and that it seems like he's done a great job in the weight room with Coach Marotti and his staff. They have sung his praises, is what Coach Day said. And to me, he was a linchpin guy on this offensive line, 2 years as a starter. You also have Brandon Bowen, who had about a half a season as a starter and was really coming into his own when he suffered his injury and was lost. So I think you have the potential there to have a much better offensive line in theory and on the field than you do on paper. No question.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. The offensive line has to be good for this team to be good. They don't have to be great, but they cannot just be average. They can't be a weakness. They have to be good for this team to be great. Middle linebacker, I'm very intrigued by middle linebacker. I asked Coach Day about that a couple different times, once in the main press conference, once in the breakout room. And, you know, he's not – just like quarterback, he's not anointing anybody right now. That's a job. But this one I think he really doesn't know, and I think they might rotate some guys. He said rotating – some guys, much like in 2014 with Raekwon McMillan and Curtis Grant, that's in the cards. They could do that. Or if he says one guy separates himself, that could be the guy we're talking about. It could be Tuff Borland, could be Taraja Mitchell, could be Baron Browning. I still think Baron Browning, Steve's more of an outside linebacker or even a guy that can come in and rush the quarterback from the edge. But, man, I think Taraja Mitchell has the highest ceiling. I'm kind of – you don't want to root for players, but if you're a Buckeye fan out there – he's got the highest ceiling of the middle linebackers. Tuff Borland, though, it's going to be tough to unseat him. He was a captain last year. He was coming off of a ruptured Achilles, and he still didn't miss any games. So, you know, he's not going to give that job up easily. Just how do you see it shaking out at middle linebacker? You think they might rotate?
Yeah, I think that's a definite possibility because they've got the talent to be able to do that. It was curious to me that Baron Browning's name wasn't really mentioned in that group. And as you said, maybe they're viewing him now a little bit more as an option at the outside linebacker spot. I think Malik Harrison certainly has all Big Ten potential at one of the outside linebacker spots. Taraja Mitchell is a guy that I'm going to have a hard time keeping off the field. So particularly if he's running down plays and making plays in this new defense and he gets in there, you know, let's say Borland starts, but Mitchell comes in and makes some impact plays and some game-changing plays, I'm not sure how they deny him at some point. But again, I don't have a dog in this hunt. I would look at it. I would say, again, play the guy who's the most consistent. If you like guys in particular schemes or down or distance, then go with that. But maybe one's a better run player and one's a better pass defender. But, again, I think that it is a good problem to have when you have more than one middle linebacker who can play at a, okay, let's just call it a second or third team all Big Ten level. They don't necessarily have to be the best. I don't think anyone's aspiring to be first team all Big Ten out of this group right now, but Mitchell could be that way in a year or two.
No question about it. I mean, he could be a future NFL, you know, I don't want to say first round pick, but a guy that could be like a second day pick, you know, second or third round guy, much like a Raekwon McMillan. I think Taraja Mitchell has that kind of talent, and he's more of a thumper than McMillan. He's not maybe the athlete McMillan was, but I think he's definitely more of a thumper than Raekwon was. And hey, Raekwon could hit you. He was a second round pick. The guy can play. Steve, last thing here. The defense is confident. They have a chip on their shoulder big time. Talking to Jordan Fuller, talking to Jonathan Cooper, you know, obviously when you talk to Ryan Day and obviously KJ Hill, they're going to talk about the offense mostly. Most of the questions are about the offense. But, you know, listen to Jordan Fuller and Jonathan Cooper. Like I said, I think the biggest takeaways are they are confident. And they have a chip on their shoulder. They are sick of being asked, how come you guys had one of the worst defenses in the country last year? Now, you know, was Ohio State the worst defense in the country? Or, you know, no, but they were 72nd in the country in total defense. That's awful for Ohio State standards out of about 129 FBS teams. So 72nd in the country is ridiculous. I think they're going to be top 20, maybe top 10 this year. And Steve, I love the attitude of Jonathan Cooper and Jordan Fuller. They just are talking up the new defensive coaches like Jeff Hafley, Greg Madison, Al Washington. They obviously love Larry Johnson. They feel like they're going. The Silver Bullets are going to be back. And, man, do they have a chip on their shoulder because of being asked all of these questions about last year.
Yeah, that, Dave, that was the impression I got as well, that they're kind of chafing in the fact that people are rubbing last year in their face. And to be very honest, that was the worst Ohio State defense, statistically at least, back to some of those Cooper teams when he first got there in like 88 or 89. They gave up a bunch of yards. I think last year, the numbers that stick out, I think they gave up close to 26 points a game and 405 yards total offense per game, which I want to say one or both of those are record and not in a good way for Ohio State defense. They gave up the two longest plays in the 100. Well, let's see. The 100th year was 90 when I was there in school, and now it's been 29 years later. So in the 128 year up to that point history of Ohio State football, they gave up the two longest plays for a defense against the offense in that stretch, and they occurred, believe it or not, 15 days apart with Oregon State, I think, and then TCU. So one was a run and one was a pass. So these guys were equal opportunity offenders last year with how poorly that the whole thing came together. Very curious, and we'll be posting some articles with the players as the days wear out here the next few hours, next few days. But I think it was Bill Rabinowitz from the Columbus Dispatch tried to put Jonathan Cooper on the spot about what really happened last year. Miscommunication, out of sync. What were the problems? And I think Bill at one point even said it just seemed like there were obstacles in the way of the defensive players from making plays. And Jonathan Cooper kind of took the bait just a little bit. He said, yeah, there were times where I don't know if it was because of the scheme or whatever it was called. You know, you have, you know, personnel on the field. Maybe it didn't fit necessarily. But there were things that kept us from playing up to our full potential. And he didn't want to throw Greg Schiano or anybody else under the bus. But it was obvious that there were things last year that just didn't fit. And we all know it. We all saw it. And there's a reason why Coach Day cleaned house on that side of the football. And I believe he was asked in one of his sessions how tough that was to say goodbye to, you know, people that had been instrumental in largely some success at Ohio State. And he said it's the toughest thing he's had to do since he took over, but it was the right thing to do because they needed to move in a new direction and move in a new direction quickly, and that's what it looks like they're going to do.
We're going to move in a new direction and finish up with media days here on Friday with the other seven teams, and then we're going to get on a plane back to Columbus. And we appreciate everyone joining us for this special edition of the Bucknuts Morning Five here from Chicago. For Steve Hellwagon, I am Dave Biddle. Thanks to all the listeners for tuning in. Let's hear that Buckeye swag, best damn band in the land.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.